I think we should be inspired and really pause and see that clearly, that Matthew, such careful consideration of the scripture, to be able to see that actually when Jesus healed these people and did it despite the Pharisees trying to trap him and didn't argue with the Pharisees, actually, that's Isaiah 42. How intimate Matthew has to be with all the prophecy about his Savior to be able to connect those dots for us.
Hi, this is Holly. Welcome to Study with Friends. This week we're in Matthew's Gospel, looking carefully at the Old Testament scriptures that Matthew uses to prove to his reader that Jesus is the promised Messiah. What a great thing for us to understand. If you want to read or hear more on this topic, go to studywithfriends.org and type Matthew in the search box. That's studywithfriends.org. I know many of you are studying along at home or with a group, so if you have questions or insights on the study, please post them on our Facebook page. We love to interact with you there, and we might even read some comments on the air. Let's look more at how Jesus is the fulfillment.
Okay, let's look at Matthew 8. So let me read, you guys, I'll read, Maria, you get Isaiah 53:4, and Jan, you get Isaiah 42:1-3, and we'll go through them both.
Okay,
so Matthew 8:15-17 is referencing Isaiah 53:4, and Matthew says, "He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve him. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases." Maria, will you, which one of you has Isaiah 53? Okay, go ahead.
Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted.
Okay, so this passage reminds us that Jesus was willing and able to heal the sick, and also that it was well known. So he's becoming known as something special. Remember I said earlier, we're going to see that start to rise up in Jesus's ministry, that he's becoming known even in the time before he died and raised again. He's becoming known as something special. So when we talk about Matthew using these fulfillment prophecies to connect the dots for people, we can be sure that there was a lot of buzz around this guy. Right? So we, even before he died, he was healing people, and people were bringing their, I mean, listen, if you've ever loved somebody who was sick, you know, you would strap them to your back and walk miles and miles if you thought someone at the other end of that trek could heal him. So you can only imagine. I mean, we see other times in the Bible, people were lowering sick guy down through the roof. Like, they were desperate to get what Jesus had, which is metaphorical because they wanted the healing, but some of them neglected the inner healing that Jesus actually came to bring. So why do you think that Matthew included this fulfillment quotation?
Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Mm-hmm. He took all of it.
Yeah. So a little bit, I referenced that in what I just said. So he was healing their physical bodies, but he really came
to save us. I mean, he took all of our burdens. He took all of our pain. He took all of our sorrows.
He came to do more than just heal our bodies.
Right.
He came to heal our soul. So I just wanted to lift that one out. Do you want to go ahead and we'll move on to Matthew 12? Unless there's more you want to say about that one?
No.
Okay. Okay, Matthew. I'll read Matthew 12:10-20. And then if Jan, you would read Isaiah 42:1-3, which is what we're referring to. This is a great one. And a man was there with a withered hand, and they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. And he said to them, "Which of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched it out, and it was restored, healthy like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him, how to destroy him. Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all and ordered them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory." There's so much in this one. Please read Isaiah 42, 1 and 3, so we can hear what Matthew's referring to, and then we'll dive in together.
"Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice."
Okay, so let me hear what struck you first, and then I'll tell you what struck me.
Once again, he's pushing against. He's doing things that the Pharisees would call radical.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
breaking
pushing,
the
right? He's mm-hmm. breaking the law. He's mm-hmm. a rebel.
Mm-hmm.
He's a,
yeah.
you know,
yeah, rogue.
Yeah. Yeah, and he is. It's more important that the healing be done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So whatever it cost him to accomplish that,
mm-hmm.
they were finding any excuse,
right,
to judgment on him.
Exactly.
They wanted him. So it's kind of like where there's a will, there's a way.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to
trap him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed to figure out every single way to
yep.
bring him down.
Well, they tried.
Mm-hmm.
And he withdrew. He does that.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to do that mm-hmm. when he sees that
conflict.
This is a fight not worth having mm-hmm. with these folks. So I'm going to do what I came here to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to withdraw and let them fight amongst themselves.
How can we apply that in our lives?
Mm.
How can we withdraw?
How
we
can
see
we
a conflict
say,
coming?
I am not participating in this foolishness? This is rhetorical. You don't have to answer me, but you're right. That was something I really saw here too.
Mm-hmm.
That he Jesus, it says here in 14 and 15, the Pharisees went out and conspired against him, how to destroy him. Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there. And the quotation that Matthew is hitting here is, he will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. He's not going to argue with these Pharisees. He's going to do what he came to do. And they don't even know. They don't even know. And so I thought that you're 100% right. I really, really, that resounded with me too. There's a lot of words in this one, but mm-hmm. That one really stuck out to me, that he just is not going to argue with the Pharisees. And you know, later, he tells his disciples, they're trying to, you know, figure out about healings. And he looks at him, he's like, why are you arguing with them?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a theme for Jesus. That, like, be known by what you do. Don't waste your words. Come and do what you came to do. It reminds me of Nehemiah, who was rebuilding the temple. And those two haters mm-hmm. who were like saying all kinds of things. And he just was like, and their messengers were like, do you have a response? He was like, I don't have a response. I have work to do. And this is the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want us to meditate. I can think of things that I can, you know, we all, sometimes we hold our tongue properly and sometimes we let it fly. Sometimes that's appropriate and sometimes it's not.
The battle, not the war.
Yeah, you know, I mean, listen, I've never been accused of being timid. I err more on the side of opening my mouth when I should keep it snapped shut. But it's just as much of an error not to speak up when you should.
Mm.
But Jesus here is saying, "You actions speak louder than words." Mm. He came and he did what he had some big work to do, and he wasn't really going to participate in the foolishness. So that was a good one. What else did you guys see here?
Exactly that he did what he came to do, and also it probably, I would imagine, it was equally as important to him.
Mm-hmm.
That he was never seen quarreling.
Mm-hmm.
That if you're to follow me, this is what I look like. So, well, this is sure. What you should look
That's
like.
That's a good one.
So,
but there was a time he eventually did stand up and say, but you know, you're wise to pull that out, because he was also hyper aware of the timing. If he had engaged with them right then, it wasn't the time. There was a time where he finally did say, yeah, as a matter of fact, and they beat him and they killed him for it. But this wasn't that time yet. He still had work to do. And that is an excellent example. Again, Nehemiah, same thing. If he had stopped what he was doing, which is the work on the temple, and been distracted by the haters, then he would have been not doing what he was there to do, and the timing would have been wrong. But eventually, Nehemiah stood up and said some things that needed to get said,
mm-hmm.
but not then. That was not the time. Interesting.
I just think of the word withdrew, as you were saying, mm-hmm. and he does do it a lot, to take himself out of the limelight from what the Pharisees want to make of him.
Mm-hmm. And even when the people wanted to
worship
him.
But then it says, and many followed.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he was trying to withdraw.
And you know, here's where I was driving at after that, which is, and many followed, and he healed them all.
Right. Like, he was just like,
see, so he was like, good.
I'm
great.
Busy.
Yeah, but he was like doing his.
But he wanted
doing,
to get that done.
Mm-hmm. But he ordered them not to make him known.
Mm-hmm, because he just wanted to get it done. He wanted to get out
well,
of the
again,
way.
Well, again, the timing.
It was
it's not his time.
Right.
Not mm-hmm. his time. Mm-hmm. And he was, I'm sure, keenly conscious of how short his time
Very
was.
Very short. Isn't that amazing?
No.
To know that.
No.
3 years.
I mean, part of me does.
That's
okay.
It.
So then verse 20 says something I wanted to just meditate on with you girls for a minute. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory. So up here in, you saw it too. Mm-hmm. In verse 15, it says, many followed him and he healed them all. And this was to fulfill not just the not quarreling, but also the bruised reed he will not break. So he has such mercy. There's such gentleness in that, such kindness, such love that he knows he's putting himself in danger, but he's going to heal these people anyway. It is his will to heal us. That's not to be missed either. That's really something to be reflected upon. Then one thing that I really appreciated as a teacher, I guess, and a student of the Bible, is what careful attention Matthew had to pay to the Old Testament to see all the ways that Jesus fulfilled those
I would definitely
prophecies.
Say he was educated.
He was, I mean, can you imagine, like what we just did, trying to figure out why he said Nazarene? Matthew, I think we should be inspired by that and really pause and see that clearly, that Matthew, such careful consideration of the scripture to be able to see that actually, when Jesus healed these people and did it despite the Pharisees trying to trap him and didn't argue with the Pharisees, actually, that's Isaiah 42. How intimate Matthew has to be with all the prophecy about his Savior to be able to connect those dots for us. Of course, I would say as a teacher and a student of the Bible, you have to have read it and the Holy Spirit has to have opened it up for you to see this is
the
truth.
The
mm-hmm, to make that connection. But I'm still inspired, mm-hmm, by Matthew's careful consideration of the scripture and how, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he's able to show us so clearly how this is in fact the fulfillment in one fell swoop of a verse that Isaiah.
Does it make you wonder that, is there going to be somebody who speaks to what we learn about at the end of the Old Testament?
Well, no, because can I tell you what I think? I will tell you what I think about that.
Tell me.
I believe that what John said at the end of Revelation is basically, he says, this is all you need. Mm-hmm. And I believe that God turned it on its head, that we will clearly see during the times of Revelation. I think in the same way that there were people who were stubborn and stiff-necked when Jesus was walking among them and raised from the dead, and these people were proclaiming the gospel so vibrantly, certainly not the whole world converted. So I think that'll be true again. But we also have scripture that says every knee will bow, mm-hmm, and every tongue confess. It's going to be different the second time around. And I there's too many very intelligent people who have quite different opinions about what Revelation is going to look like in real life. Okay. But I think there are some unquestionable things we are going to be sure of. And yeah, I think it's going to be similar, where we have had the book of Revelation from the time of John, the disciple John, mm-hmm, who wrote it. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see the Messiah, and we're going to be like, look.
Hello.
This is the fulfillment of what was written. And mm-hmm, someone may write, this was to fulfill what the prophet John said in Revelation, mm-hmm, the same way that someone said the prophet Isaiah said in his book. So these, mm-hmm, are all things that are kind of awesome to think about.
Mm, very possible.
And there's a lot, I think it teases so much of the imagination that, mm-hmm, that's why people have written books about it and done, mm-hmm, movies on it. But I would say one word of caution. I think it's fun for me to think about what God is up to. Of course, I love God, and I love everything he's doing, right? But you can go too far, right, into that place where you're like, oh, well, this is what's going to happen. And no one knows. Right. No one knows. Mm-hmm. If it were clear, there would not be very smart people who disagreed on this. It's not clear. And there's a reason it's not clear. Because God is a God of mystery, and he will do what he's going to do when he's going to do it. Mm-hmm. And it's not for us to know, as Jesus said, it's not for us to know. But when the time comes, those of us who believe in him, I don't believe there will be any question. That's all I can say. I think that we will be sure. Mm-hmm. Not that maybe the whole world won't be sure, but we will be sure. And that's, again, because the Holy Spirit lives in us. So we don't have to confer with each other. The Holy Spirit will tell us, this is the time. It's time. So maybe we'll see it. Maybe we won't. In the meantime, we got to live right. Do our Bible study.
Know our word. That's how I see it.
Live for the Lord as if he's coming tomorrow. But prepare that he might not come quickly. All right. So, and be sure you don't leave anyone around you behind. Mm. Let them all know what you know. Okay. So let's talk about Matthew 13, 10 to 17, which refers to Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. So I will ask, I see Jan going for Isaiah, so, mm-hmm, I'll have you go for Isaiah. And Maria, why don't you read Matthew 13, 10 to 17.
Got it. Why do you speak to them in... Oh, then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he who will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's hearts has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear,
and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it.
Okay, and that refers to Isaiah 6, verses 9 to 10. Would you read that, please, Jen?
He said, go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn to be healed.
Okay. So this section, I'm going to just tell you instead of stumping you. I told you there are three sections in this passage. So we'll take our pen and we'll mark them. Okay, I'm going to show you what I was driving at there. So I marked from 11 to 14 is broken up, but from the top, which is verse 10, to right before he starts quoting Isaiah, right? So that's section one. Then the Isaiah quote is section two. And then verses 16 and 17 is section three. And here's what I saw. It's so funny because I wrote this a while ago and something just happened last night that was a great example of what I wanted to get from this. So his disciples are asking, why do you speak to them in parables? So they're like, why are you being so cryptic? Why don't you just tell them? Okay. And I could say, and more importantly than me, many Bible scholars have said, there's something about a parable that's memorable in a way that a lecture is not. There's something about a story. We remember the story of the seeds that are thrown onto the hard ground. That is vivid. Much more vivid than it would have been if Jesus said, well, some people's hearts are hard and some people's hearts are welcoming. So that's how that works, guys. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's kind of obvious why he speaks in parables. They're frustrated because they want him to be clear with the people because they want the people to see him for who he is. They believe a prophet, perhaps the Messiah. They believe he's great. Hi, it's Holly again. I'm so thankful for the ways God's word helps me to know him and to know myself better. I hope you felt that gift during your time with us today. We're a weekly Bible study just like you find at your local church. If you're not involved in a study like this, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week in every situation. In Matthew 10, Jesus was sending out his disciples to preach the word, and he instructed them with this command, "Freely you have received, freely give." We think that applies to us here at Study with Friends, so we have created many resources for you on our website, studywithfriends.org. If you missed any part of this program or you want to hear it again, you can visit us there to listen free and on demand. Or you can look for other Bible studies, all of which are free to use and print. That's studywithfriends.org. Just like those disciples who relied on the generosity of a host for food and shelter, we are also 100% donor supported. So if you're particularly blessed by one of the resources we work hard to provide, please consider a donation of any amount. A monthly partnership is especially helpful to us, and no amount is too small. If you're thinking about, oh, I only have a little bit, if you feel moved to give it, we would be grateful to have it, and we will thank you greatly for that. You can donate one time or become a monthly partner at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We also love to hear from you via email at info@studywithfriends.org. That is really always a huge encouragement to us, so please don't hesitate to write if you have the inclination. See you next time. We study with friends.